thank you very much for joining me today. Referring to what you wrote back in November about in Defense One about restoring the balance of power with China, is it your sense that anything, either world events or United States policy toward China, has changed sufficiently since November, or are we headed on the same path that you saw back then, sir?
I think we're headed on the same path so far, Francis. I think the major difference that has taken place, of course, is that we do have at least now a new Congress, which means we also have new chairmen that have picked up new gavels, and I think that may offer us the opportunity to at least look at different directions. But so far, everything that we put in that op-ed, we continue to see on a global basis.
What kind of momentum would you like to build, not just within the HASC, but also with Chairman McCain and the new chairs and the other members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, sir?
Well, I think we'll have a good relationship between Senator McCain. Matt Thornberry is going to be an excellent chairman. I think when you see the lineup between those two committees, I think they will be committees that will have a very good vision and will work well in trying to turn the corner. But Francis, I think what we need when we talk in terms of momentum is the momentum not just for those committees, but for Congress as a whole. What I think is just noticeably missing in congressional circles today outside of the standard committee is an overall debate over what national defense and national security really means for the United States of America, and what our goals are going to be over the next several years, but also over the next several decades. And let me just give you the perfect example of that. If you go back over the last 6 years, the only question anybody's been asking is, how much money do we want to spend for national defense? And then they've made our strategy fit whatever that number was. You just can't do national defense that way. You have to start by looking at two things. First is, what are our threats? Short-term and in the foreseeable future. And then secondly, you have to look at what our goals are. And from there, you can begin to develop strategies that then lead you into the dollar amounts. But it's that kind of debate that we would like to see take place.
And you anticipated my next question, sir, about the schools of thought, budget first, strategy first, or combination of the two. How do you propose to make that case and build the momentum that you need when there are a number of members who are either budget first or strategy first and aren't of the school of thought that you just described, Mr. Chairman?
Francis, I think our big push has to be to have the debate. If at the end of the day, when both of those schools that you referenced have laid everything on the table and everybody can look at all the factual arguments, I am confident that we will change these trajectories. What frightens me is not that people will listen to the facts that are out there and then not modify what we're doing. What frightens me is that they will never look at those facts, never have those discussions, never have those debates, and so they'll make decisions that, for all intents and purposes, are blind in nature. That's my concern, and I would suggest that's what we've seen happening to a large degree over the last 6 years. What I would like to see happen is that we actually have that debate, and I am comfortable. We'll take all comers. We'll take all the people who say, you know, we want to slice spending for national defense, there's no war on terrorism, you know, all those people. Come to the table in an honest, good, intellectual discussion. I think when you walk away, Francis, they're going to all say, we have got to change course in what we've been doing in national defense for the United States of America.
Are you confident that you're getting an accurate assessment, though, the accurate, complete snapshot of the defense threat landscape in order to make those decisions and have that debate, sir?
I am comfortable that I have a clear enough picture right now with all of the resources that we're giving to be able to change those curve lines in different directions than what they're going now. Francis, if the question is, do we ever get a situation where our intelligence is perfect, or there would not be more questions we would like to both ask and have answered? Obviously, we would like to have better intelligence, more briefing. But I think overwhelmingly, the weight of the evidence of what we have now by almost every major national defense analyst that I talk to or hear from justifies us changing course from the direction we're headed.
Congressman Randy Forbes is chairman of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Sea Power and Projection Forces. One of the ideas that you proposed in this Defense One piece back right after the election, Mr. Chairman, is constructing a congressional think tank ideas network. We're already starting to see some collaboration in places where we didn't see it before. The American Enterprise Institute and the Center for American Progress are joining together on a national defense and foreign policy effort. What would you like to see in the think tank community to build those kinds of collaborative relationships, and how can you in the Armed Services Committee help to encourage that, sir?
Francis, one of the things that is, I think, vitally important to have happen, we've got some incredibly brilliant individuals thinking about national defense out in some of these think tanks. The problem is that it does us limited good if they're thinking of them in places where policymakers are not either being able to participate in that or understand what those discussions are about. So what we are working towards is an integration of those ideas, those think tanks coming together, not just among themselves, but with policymakers, and not just policymakers on the key committees that deal with national defense, with policymakers across the spectrum, so that you can have that kind of intelligent, rational debate and discussion that I mentioned earlier. And a lot of times, Francis, this needs to be done kind of behind the scenes. We don't need anybody trying to get points for a television camera or trying to do an I gotcha. What we want is to have a true discussion and debate of this. And if you go back to Dwight Eisenhower, he had some huge, serious threats when he came into office. We had a recession going on. Soviet Union at that time had done, I think, 4 nuclear tests. They just dwarfed us in terms of the divisions they had in the Army versus what we had. And he created, as you remember, Project Solarium, which didn't go to the Pentagon for those ideas. And he could have. He was the general of generals. But he actually created 3 different private groups of individuals to come up with new, fresh ideas. And they really developed the New Look strategy that kept the Soviet Union at bay for almost a decade. We need more of that today.
It sounds like that effort in your vision would inform you and your colleagues as much on an informal or off the record, or that's actually not what I'm getting at, in a one-on-one staff environment as much as it would testifying before your subcommittee and the full committee and that kind of a more high-profile presentation. Am I on the right track there, sir?
You are, Francis, and let me just say with one little caveat, it's not just the one-on-one meeting. You know, I'm a firm believer that sometimes when we bring 5, 6, 10 policymakers in a room together with an equal number of private sector thinkers about these issues, the product you leave with is sometimes far superior to the product any one person brought into that table. And so that's kind of the discussion that we would like, instead of just a situation where you're sitting in a chair and somebody's briefing you, actually being able to kind of peel that onion back and ask the second, third tier questions so that you really understand the strategy and the strategic planning that we need as a nation. Because if we don't have the right strategy and we don't understand that strategy, Francis, it's almost impossible to make the procurement and acquisition decisions that we need as a nation.
Finally, Mr. Chairman, you propose laying the foundation in this Congress for the next Congress and beyond. What will those building blocks look like upon which future Congresses can build today?
Francis, I think many of them are what you've alluded to. I think the first is this dialogue between the Senate and the House, which I think is going to happen and already happening, and I'm very encouraged by what we see there. I think the second thing is to have an even greater awareness of the full spectrum of thought we have on our committee. I think that's something Chairman Thornberry's fully understands. I think he's going to work very hard to make sure all of our members are participating and working on that that work product. So it's not going to just be a top-down dictated process. I think the third thing is, as we mentioned, to bring in these think tanks on these groups. We call them defense dialogues as we continue that process. And then the final piece is to continue to really demand, encourage, whatever way we can do it, to get the Pentagon to make sure they are doing more strategic planning, and then share that strategic planning with policymakers so that we can have a partnership of how we rebuild this military that is so vital for protecting not just our interests, but the interests of the world.